This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's going to hit different in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
When
the Eagles,
right?
When the Eagles come around the tunnel, oh, of course it is. It's gonna bring this whole thing all full circle. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilli, the Nick Sirianni conversation with the Morning Show coming up in just a few minutes. He was asked about Saquon and how they'll approach a run to potentially the all-time rushing record. Saquon Barkley on that pace right now. Are they going to keep giving him the ball that much as we go week after week after week close to the playoffs? Sirianni addressed that this morning. We'll bring you the full replay coming up. We got to get to a Q&A later in the show. Elliott Shore Parks at 1, guest it takes. And later in the show, when we do our parlay for Thanksgiving, we got a big Hugh banger. I mean, this one,
banger.
A banger of a parlay put together by Hugh Douglas. He was like in the lab cooking this morning, this parlay up, and we were all like, I don't know about that, and then we just let him go. So we'll get to all that coming up. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Do you fully trust Jalen Hurts if this is a shootout on Sunday? And, of course, your guess is for Hugh's clues here for a pair of tickets to the Big Five Classic on Saturday, December 7th. D is in Philadelphia. Hey, D.
Hey, what's going on, Midday Crew?
What's up, D?
Not much. Listen, man, I'm going to just keep it brief. Because I'm picking up my wife from work, and I don't want her to think I'm on the phone with something other than y'all. do I trust our franchise QB in a shootout with Lamar? I want to say yes.
That was a tepid yes. That was like, yeah, I guess.
Because our identity is running the ball, so it's like, you know, nobody has been able to shut that down yet. So, like, if for some reason Baltimore find a way to shut down Saquon in the running scheme, it's like, I'm just being honest. I don't know. I mean, I want to say yes because that's my QB. I believe in him and everything, but I don't know. If you got to throw it 30, 40 times, can he do it without throwing a pick?
Right. I mean, indeed, sometimes that's as important as throwing a big touchdown as not throwing the pick, right? Living to die another down.
Exactly. So I guess it's fair to say yes and no. It's like a 50-50. It's like 50-50.
If you're 50-50 is no.
That means you don't got a full trust. I get it. I don't either. I need to see him do it. We haven't seen him win a shootout in a while here. All right, D, what do you got for us? A guess for Hugh's clues.
I want to say Turducken.
Turducken. Now, it's not food.
That's that old, the John Madden,
the Madden one. Yeah. D, happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate it.
No, duck is not good, though.
I don't like duck.
It's greasy.
Oh, I love duck.
Super greasy.
So I never really had it, and then, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago I tried it. It's greasy. I agree with you. It's.
I accidentally ate it because I thought it was chicken.
It's similar.
Well, because I was at a resort, and I thought, you know, you at a resort, and you're like, oh, it's chicken. And I was like, damn, this is really greasy.
Well, so you're supposed to cook duck like medium rare.
Maybe I'm at a restaurant. I didn't cook it myself. Maybe they didn't cook it great. I don't know. You're a duck guy?
Yeah, I mean, duck's good.
I don't like duck.
Dude, you don't like anything normal.
I like chicken.
Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah.
I like pizza.
Everyone likes pizza.
Not everyone likes pizza, man.
I should say you don't like anything that's remotely out of the realm of normal.
How many people do you know that don't like pizza?
I know one.
Well, that's not... I said everyone.
Everyone. I know one. My son does not like pizza.
He doesn't like pizza?
Uh-uh. He eats chicken, french fries.
Well, it's normal if you're little. Like, you have...
Little. Dude, I try to get him a pizza. He say, no, thank you. You can eat it.
My brother's in his 20s and doesn't really like pizza.
No,
so
he doesn't
weird.
Like pizza.
Yeah.
Does he not really like cheese?
I don't know how you couldn't really like cheese.
Well, I'm saying everyone, unless you don't eat it, right? You're vegan or something. But everyone likes cheese. Bread and sauce. It's like the simplest thing everyone likes.
Some people are just weird, dude.
We find that out on this show on a daily basis.
By the way, so... just want to make this clear to everybody, because everyone says, I got to trust him. He's our franchise quarterback.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. Like, if Tommy DeVito was our quarterback,
we wouldn't trust him.
Now, Jalen's not Tommy DeVito. I know that. But just because he's your quarterback doesn't mean you have to trust him.
When I say, like, this is what I mean in this conversation. Eagles somehow, and I know we had a back and forth of logistics in the 11 o'clock hour with the caller. Somehow, they're down 10 or 14 early. A weird play happens. A kick return. A punt return. A fumble, you know, in their own zone. And the game script changes. And they can't run it, just run it and wait for Saquon to break one. They got to throw it more, right? The script changes. Do you trust Jalen to go win the game? Like, that's what I mean by trust. We haven't seen that in a long time because, Hugh, they haven't had to. They've been able to stay on their plan, yeah. And it's worked.
And I think for a lot of people, when you say trust, they're thinking bombs away down the field. It doesn't have to be that. Like, I've always said when it comes to Jalen, put the ball in the hands of your playmakers. If he can get the ball in the hands of his playmakers, I think we'll be fine. But he has to be able to do that. It doesn't always have to be damn the torpedoes, right. Bomb the ball down the field. It could be screens. I think this offense has evolved to the point where, as a defense, if I'm playing against them, I'm worried about the screens. Because those screens, especially when you have corners ran off, that screen can hit big.
Yeah, if you're playing man, and we saw it the other night with the Saquon, and you kind of lose Saquon in the muck of the screen, yeah. He was gone. And then the other thing about playing man against them is Jalen could just take off and pick up 5, 6, 7, 10.
All of that. So it's being strategic in trying to get the point. Because, like, if you're talking about 14 points down, now possessions are huge.
Right.
Every possession that you have is huge, and you have to get something out of every possession that you have. Because I think that this is how this game is probably going to go. Who probably has the ball at the end of the game?
I think it's very likely. And what's interesting about that is both kickers have struggled. Two yeah. really good kickers. I mean, like, one is the greatest ever, or, you know, up there in Justin Tucker. And then it could come down to the kicker Sunday.
Washed kicker versus washed.
You say it washed.
Both have struggled.
Elliott had a good game last week. But.
Yeah, and it seemed like Tucker kicked better on Monday. So maybe they're both coming out of it.
You say
it
washed, though. Washed was so strong.
Who's more washed? We find out Sunday.
Washed versus washed.
215-592-9494. All right. Nick Sirianni, his weekly appearance on the morning show. Let's hear that, and including his answer about Saquon and how they're going to use him down the stretch with potentially a record on the line. Sirianni on the morning show today.
The Eagles head coach will be coaching this one and the next one and the next one after that. Nick Sirianni. Nick, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Nick. Hey. So, Nick, congratulations first and foremost. I mean, a 7-game winning streak is a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. You got to be incredibly proud of your football team right now.
Yeah, you know, we played a good game on Sunday. I thought it was a complete game, just, you know, offense, defense, and special teams. And, you know, we're not really thinking about, you know, how many we've won in a row. All we're thinking about is the tough game we got ahead and focus, putting all our attention and focus on Baltimore Ravens.
You know, Nick, I heard you say something, and we all heard it post game. You know, because the audio got released by your squad. Your message to the team, in a nutshell, staying focused, staying locked in. We've heard you say that a few times this year. How often during the week do you come back to that to keep them totally locked in? To because you know, complacency is part of human nature. And how much of a challenge is it for you as a coach to make sure you just keep drilling that into the guys?
Yeah, that's definitely part of human nature. And so that you have to fight that. There's a lot of things you have to fight, you know, in throughout the adversities and the triumphs of a long season. And so our job is to truly just get better every single day. And so you try to lock them into that every day. So I say every day we talk about that and what we want, what our goals are, what we want to accomplish. And you can't get those things unless you put your head down and work every single day. And again, it's we understand that this is, you're only as good as your last game, and we got to go out and play a good game this week. And so the only way to do that is to put in the work, you know, put in the work in walkthrough, put in the work in the meeting room, put in the work at practice, you know, put in the work of getting your bodies healthy, you know, through the training room and all the rehab stuff. So it's a grind, but that's what you love about the NFL. It's a grind, and it's putting your head down and going back at it every single week. And it takes true mental toughness, and that's what our mission is, and that's what our goal is.
Nick, speaking of mental toughness, we talked to Brandon Graham and what he's going through with his injury. It's really tough. Replacing his production is also really tough. Who do you think you'll lean on the most to replace BG's production on the field? But more importantly, How hard is it? What are the challenges for you as his coach to keep him involved with the team while he's injured? Because he means so much to the just the general morale of the guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that to answer the first part of your question on the field, I think it's never when you're replacing a stud like BG, it's never just one guy, right? Everyone has to make up for it, right? And so Sweaty might have to have a couple more reps, and Nolan Smith might have to have a couple more reps, and Jalen Hunt might have to have a couple more reps. We have some different thoughts of some other guys on the roster. We added a guy to the roster yesterday. And so, you know, it's never just one man taking it, especially when it's a dude like BG of completely saying, hey, you got it all. We have the pieces. We have a lot of good guys and a lot of good options. And I'm obviously excited about our depth. So bummed about BG. I shared this in my press conference yesterday that, you know, early in my college career, had a kind of a terrible injury that I had to go through. And one of the hardest things that I had to watch every single day was my teammates going to practice or my teammates, you know, leaving to go to a game. And just, I would sob, you know, I'd be in there. I just loved football so much and I wasn't able to be a part of that. And so I always thought like my head coach there did such a good job of making me feel a part of it. And we need, like, it's not even going to be about me telling, BG knows how much I need him. And I've told him, hey, we need you around and you're a part of it, everything. We need him to be a part of it because, you know, he's still, you guys talk to him. He's like the one of the best teammates that you could imagine. And, you know, you can't have a bad day around Brandon Graham and his energy that he brings every single day.
Yeah.
Fortunately for us, he can still do that part of it, right? And people, and he's got that, he's got everyone's ear and everyone respects him and everybody looks up to him. And so he's going to be leading from a different lens, but I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be leading and our success is still tied to the leadership of Brandon Graham. And I think that it's huge, you know, not only for Brandon and him going through what he's going through, but for us as a football team, because we need him desperately through this last part of the season.
Nick, another just massive story is Saquon and the potential that he could be setting all sorts of records, all-time records, NFL records. How much responsibility do you feel over those records, you know, balancing the responsibility of this opportunity? Basically, if you hand it off to Saquon enough, he will set the all-time season rushing record. But his health is so critical to this team's success. How do you balance that part of it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that it's hard to start thinking about that now because there's so much left of the season. And you do have to think of the health of our guys. And I've told you guys this before. You know, you think of the health of their guys Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then what happens in the game, you think about it as well. If we can get Saquon out in the fourth quarter, which we've been blessed to be able to do this past month of the season. And so, but you do everything you can do to win the football game. And so I think when you start to think about records and stuff like that, you think about that near the end of the season, like, hey, he's got two more carries to get, or, you know, 10 more yards to get the all-time record. Well, that's when you have to think about that and try to get, you know, and get him those accolades and those records when you get there, because there's so much more football to play. And so, you know, we've always thought like that of, hey, who's the guy that's close in the record, this and that, because you want them to be able to get that. I mean, you go back to my first year here, in 2021, we rested our guys going into the playoffs against the Cowboys, but Smitty had an opportunity to break the rookie record for yards in a season. And, you know, we played him to get him that record. Now, we didn't think about that, you know, 4 weeks beforehand, 5 weeks beforehand. We thought about it that week and said, hey, okay, give him the extra, you know, throw him the first couple balls, and then we got him out of there. Throw him the first couple balls to get him that.
Yeah.
And so I want these records are cool. These are special. Like, they're fun to be a part of. And so you're always trying to do that for the guys. But I think if you think about it too far in advance I don't think that's good business. And all you're trying to do is win each every game. And so, shoot, if Saquon's running the ball like he is now, we're having a chance to win. And so those things will take care of themselves as the season continues.
You know, and Nick Sirianni with us here. And obviously, Nick, a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And I'll move from that to coaching. It's Thursday tomorrow. It's also Thanksgiving. How does that, is there anything different, or is it a normal Thursday for your football team as you prepare them for Baltimore?
Yeah, it's a normal Thursday. Now, do we make some adjustments to the schedule to allow the guys to be home with their families a little bit longer? We do. You know, I don't want to sound like a complete jerk, but, you know, we definitely do that. But my experience is there's always going to be something like this. Oh, it's Christmas week. Oh, it's Thanksgiving week. Oh, it's a short week. Oh, I'm going home here. Like, your focus has to be so laser focused. And, I mean, this is a product of me growing up at, you know, with Larry Karras, my college coach. Nobody was harder on this football team than Larry Karras at Mount Union Thanksgiving Day practice. It was... It was a tough practice.
Did you tackle to the ground?
We did not tackle to the ground. We did not tackle the ground in 2003-2001. But you know, you couldn't make a mistake in that practice because you know he wanted everyone laser focused, and that's how I feel. And I'll say that to the coaches and the players tomorrow. You know, I want to focus on today. But being laser focused in the midst of things that are where your mind could be elsewhere. Like, all that matters is that we have a good tomorrow. You know, we got to have a good day today, but you asked me about tomorrow. It's tomorrow that we have to have a super productive day to be ready for Sunday. And so, you know, that's a challenge because human nature, like you said, complacency, you know, is human nature. And so is, you know, when you have something fun for the rest of the day to think about, you know, that's an obstacle too. So we have to fight that and just be locked into the moment. And tomorrow will be challenging. And I'll be on them tomorrow. And the guys that have been here, they know that. But once it's done, then I don't want anyone to say happy Thanksgiving to me tomorrow. I told my staff, don't say it to me until after practice. Then we can tell each other how much we are thankful for each other. But until then, it's freaking Thursday, and we got to get ready.
That's funny. Hey Nick, great. You know, it's a big game on Sunday, and that's obviously part of why you're going to be so locked in tomorrow to prepare for it. So, you know, fans obviously think in terms of, I can't wait to see my team against another great team. How does my team stack up to a great team? Do you as a coach have that same sort of mindset when you're about to face? I mean, most people in America think these are two of the top five teams in pro football. Do you have a little extra something in your mind that says, I can't wait to see how we stack up against them?
Man, I'm so boring now. You know, I get it. But that's the mindset you have to have. That you have to. If I have extra motivation or an extra whatever juice for a game against, man, no doubt about it, the Baltimore Ravens are a phenomenal opponent. But if I have more energy want to or whatever it is,
sure,
for that game than I do a game a month ago, then I'm a bad coach.
Like, But Nick, what about intrigue? Because I get you, it's not going to be extra motivated. What about intrigue? I'm intrigued.
I know
to see how my team.
I'm boring. I'm boring, man. I'm boring. Like, you have to stick to the process. Over, and that is something, and you guys don't have to do that. You guys are in the media, and the fans don't have to do that. But my job as a head football coach, and our job as coaches, and our job as players, is to be completely locked in every single time we step on the practice field, every single time we step on the it's boring. It's not. It doesn't make for a great story. I get it, but the boring is what makes it great. Like, the boring and that's what makes it mentally tough, and I love that part about the game. And so we are going in like that.
Nick, I respect that very, very much. Hey, Nick, to your family and to yourself and your loved ones, a happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And, again, congratulations on what you've been doing, and big-time happy Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy tomorrow.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to y'all as well, and then to everybody in the city. Appreciate everybody.
There he is, Nick Sirianni on the morning show today. I like a lot what I heard there. One, he's boring. I want my head coach boring. I don't want an exciting NFL head coach.
He's definitely not boring.
Well, he's not, but I like that he's trying to be bored.
Yeah, he's toned it down a little bit. He's toned it down, yeah.
Also, tomorrow's going to be a work day. He'll get him out a little early, but he's late. Laser focused, we heard there from Sirianni. Also, it was his first answer, Hugh, on what he might be thinking down the line with Saquon. I thought he kind of dodged it a little bit by saying, hey, we got a ways to go. Mm-hmm. He's not going to tell us right now if they're going to let Saquon push for this record, but the closer we get, the more this is going to become a huge story, not just here in Philadelphia, but in the NFL. If he's close with about 4 weeks to go, it becomes
real.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure on them,
and I think it's a lot of – I think it all depends on how this week goes and this upcoming matchup and the ones after that. Because, you know, teams know that there's going to be a push for Saquon, and they're going to try to stop it from happening. You know, especially when you talk about that Giants game. The Giants are going to try to come to play when that happens. I know, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little
bit.
But,
Hugh, if they play the Giants in Week 18 and they let him play, he's going to run for 200 on them. They stink.
Yeah, they're going to
Speaking of the Giants,
yep.
We get a Drew Lock special tomorrow on Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
All right.
Drew Lock and Cooper Rush. Would you rather watch Drew Lock? I mean, Drew Lock's better than DeVito.
I think he gives him a better chance to win than Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, I mean, if you're betting on the game, I'm, and maybe you shouldn't, donate the money. I mean, just give it to a good cause, because that's a joke of a game.
It might be the only redeeming quality of that game is if you have a stake on either side.
I'd agree. If you're going to watch it, you probably should bet on
miserable.
It. Otherwise, just donate the money and take a nap. Mr. Surehands is up. What's up, Mr. Surehands?
Yo,
what's up?
You people. Dopey Douglas.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Uh-oh. All right.
Did you
now.
You people us, or you just?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he sure did.
A lot
did.
Of you people today.
I didn't even mean that, man. I've been listening.
That's
to
what
you
Hugh says. Yeah.
Much.
See, look at this. You're rubbing off you on the people. They're, yeah. Now we're getting you people.
You're getting you people.
What are you thinking?
Jalen is going to absolutely handle himself, however the game goes. He's going to probably have his best game so far. We're going to cream him. I got us by 13.
13. All right, double-digit victory. All right, here's what we need, Mr. Surehands. We need your guess for Hugh's clues. What was the first thing he said when I said, Hugh, Thanksgiving? He said what?
Friday weekend.
Friday weekend.
Like an early week, like a three-day weekend?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that one.
No, that wasn't it. But
that's a good guess, though.
I like how people have moved on from the food now, because that was clue two, right? It wasn't food item.
We'll still get a stray food item every now and then.
Yeah, like turducken?
Turducken.
Maybe we'll even get Survivor Series today.
That was wild.
It was one of the wildest answers we've ever gotten.
Mine was blown when I heard that.
What was yesterday's topic? Well, how did we get to Survivor Series?
I forgot.
It was a tradition.
Oh, yeah.
A holiday tradition.
A yearly WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah.
We played the Kelce clip, and the first call immediately after said, I have the answer.
Well, the craziest part for me is, like, if you're going to say a wrestling event, like WrestleMania, right? Like, there's bigger ones. Like, Survivor Series, even if you're into that, isn't even that big.
Is that, all things considered, the worst Hughes Clues guess ever?
It's up there.
Yeah, it was
pretty
bad.
It was a shocking guess.
By clue four, like, the purpose of the fourth clue is to essentially give it away immediately.
Yeah, I mean,
we're running out of time. Right. We have to give this prize away.
Hugh's self-esteem is taken care of. He got us through 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then we just give it away in the fourth hour. You're right about that. Speaking of it, third clue coming up. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone calls right after the break. Do you trust Hurts to win a shootout if it comes down to it on Sunday? A third Hugh's clue we think really might help give this one away. Plus, a Q&A on a Football Wednesday all coming up on the other side. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's all gravy this weekend on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, which means you're getting a feast of rewards all weekend long. Right now, all customers get a no-sweat NFL same-game parlay to celebrate the occasion. Place a three-leg same game parlay, you get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. NFL same game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own, choose from one of the popular same game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. So what are you waiting for? Start your feast now with a no-sweat same game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIL. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard as we look forward to a big one.
Sunday, 425
in the cold of Baltimore. The Eagles and the Ravens. Eagles currently a 3-point underdog, but a lot of people believe they can win. I believe they can win this game. But if it's a shootout, do you trust the quarterback? 215-592-9494. And my honest answer is, no, I got to see it. I have to see the Eagles win a shootout and Jalen Hurts throwing the football a lot and winning that way, because they really haven't done that this year. It's been a different script. It's worked, and hopefully it keeps working. But one of these weeks, and it might be this week, they may have to win a different way. Hugh, do you have full trust? You have confidence?
Full faith and credit, yeah.
Yeah, no shaking of that hand?
No trepidation.
Man.
Nah, I think you can get it done.
Well, you can, but like, do you have confidence you will? Yeah. We haven't seen it this year.
No, we haven't. We haven't, but I think, and you know, a lot of people were talking about last year. This is not last year's team.
No, this is this year's team.
This is this year's team, and I get what you're saying, though. We've seen him do it in the past, but you're asking about this year and standing on the merit of this year. I think he can get it done.
I always think that gets lost in the conversation with players. Players change from year to year.
Like, they do.
It's like, just yes, is Jalen Hurts capable? Does he have game-winning drives under his ledger? Of course he does. But like, the Jalen Hurts of 2 years ago isn't the same guy as now. It works like this with anybody. The Saquon Barkley of now is better than the Saquon Barkley I watched last year. It's not just that he's on a different team. He just looks better. He looks faster. So every year it changes. I think Jalen can get it done, but I don't have that full confidence. If they're down 10 and the ball's in his hand fourth quarter, he's got to throw him back in the game, that he's just going to do it. I need to see it, and this might be the week that we do see Jalen Hurts have to do it against a big-time Ravens offense. 215-592-9494. A Q&A coming up here. Our Twitter question, of course, brought to you and sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. I haven't looked at the Twitter poll today, but I'm guessing most people are going to be optimistic and
and angry with us.
Angry,
but it was a stupid question.
What's that? Asking if we trust Jalen Hurts. I mean, God forbid.
Hold on a second. 3 weeks ago, wasn't everyone worried about Hurts? Am I living in a different world?
Yes, you are.
Okay, 75% fully trust Jalen Hurts to win a potential shootout. Look, he played better on Sunday, so we're coming off a good Jalen Hurts game. But I think people's memories are just
You're
getting worse and worse.
No, it's you, Joe. It's not the people.
You don't need to be surprised. This is Twitter. You
know? Yeah, no, I get it. I get that.
How dare
But, you know, I would say most of our callers today also on the full trust for Jalen in a potential shootout. All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh, before we go any further, the people need a third clue. Can you give them a third clue here for Hugh's Clues?
This one should really give it away. We're going to knock it out of the park, this, and I decided to make it easy for you. This is one of the seven deadly sins.
So just to bring everyone back to center here, I said, Hugh, what do you think when you think Thanksgiving? And he gave us one of the seven deadly sins. I mean, that's what the guy said. I mean, I was thinking turkeys.
And he looked at me like, seriously? And I'm like, no.
Stuffing or dressing.
And I gave you, once this is guessed, I will give you the reason why I thought about this. I mean, it's a method to my mad. It's not like I'm just sitting up here.
I don't know, man.
And just thinking of crazy stuff. Nah.
Some might disagree with that.
No, I know they will, but I mean, that's why
I feel
explaining.
Like most people, when you hear Thanksgiving, you think family, football, turkey.
Oh, definitely family.
Dressing.
Definitely family.
Or stuffing.
Yeah, food. No.
Yeah, all that.
Nah.
Some beer, wine, whatever you like. Mm. You know, this guy over here gave us one of the seven deadly sins. All right, let's go to Seth in media. What's up, Seth?
Yo, what's going on, guys? How you
what's
doing?
Up,
what's up, Seth?
First off, happy Thanksgiving. Second, you know, about your question with Jalen Hurts, you know, you had referenced the Tampa Bay game. And I said this to Kyle earlier. I mean, you sent that guy into a shootout with a bag full of rocks. You know what I mean? Like, he might do some damage, but he ain't winning that game. There's no way. Defense wasn't as good as what they are now. You know, they got two guys now with Slay being out. I have full faith in Cooper DeJean taking up that corner spot. I just think they're operating different. You know, you can't compare the team this week to the team 3 games ago.
I agree. Yeah, they are. They're in a different realm now in their run game and their defense than we've seen all year, for sure.
Yeah, it's a week-to-week thing, right? Like, every week something changes. Somebody's questionable. Somebody's not. But based off of the history of what we've seen from Jalen when he has his weapons this season, right, and everybody's firing, I don't have any problem with them playing from behind in the second half. I mean, shoot, they played from behind most of the games that they won. early on. They weren't scoring in the first quarter.
So I would, yes, but so the difference, Seth, and you're right, but the defense has been playing so well that they never really fell really behind, right? The score was 7-3, it was 10-7, it was, like, you know, like they were right there. So then the run game eventually broke the dam and they win the game and they run away. They haven't had a game where they're down, you know, 13 points or 10 points early to a good offense. That just hasn't happened. Lately.
And that's a fair point. That's a fair point. But that also corroborates with or goes or proves the point that Ken from Cinnaminson was proving earlier when he said they haven't had to. Their defense is just that good. If they had to, I 100% trust them. You know, we have reason. There's always going to be reason to doubt somebody. But when you look at the matchup up and down against this squad, even if they start stuffing the run, there are ways to be creative, and I trust this coaching team enough to be creative to get short passes that'll get big yards. You know, like Kyle said earlier, they don't have to be huge chunk plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't. It doesn't have to be a 70-yard bomb. It can be a 12-yard pass that turns into a 60-yard run.
And those work out just. I mean, explosive is explosive, right? However it looks, it doesn't matter, right? You're exactly.
Yeah.
If it's a slant and AJ runs for 50 afterwards, it counts as, you know, whatever in the box score, the same amount as if he threw it in the air. I agree with that. All right, Seth, what's your guess here? Hughes Clues for a pair of tickets to the Big Five Classic.
Well, he kind of threw me off with that whole thing, but I got one quick question before I do that. A question for Hugh. We're having a family debate right now. Cornbread or biscuits?
Cornbread.
No doubt.
That's what I say.
Cornbread. But it all depends on who's making the cornbread. Like, everybody can't make – are they putting sugar in the cornbread?
My girl's making the cornbread. My mother-in-law would be making the herb biscuits.
Okay, but is there sugar in the cornbread?
That I don't know.
You don't know, yeah.
I got to tell you, Seth, my first instinct was cornbread.
Yeah.
But then you could also get some dull cornbread. Most biscuits are good.
Yeah.
Like, a high-end cornbread, I think, is the answer. But it's got to be high-end.
So you got to be that kind of cornbread that eats, like, you can eat it like cake.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt. Make a Sammy out of it. So in reference to what Hughes Clues there, the first thing I thought of was, he threw me off with the seven deadly sins, but I was thinking about that Dallas game, and I thought the first word he would say is nap.
Nap is a good one. Now, I'm trying to think of how nap fits in with the seven deadly sins. Seth, we appreciate it. It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
And you gave him the coup, and he still went off on it.
Actually, I should rescind that.
Well, I actually think there is one. There is one that fits. That
nap?
Like, yeah. One of the deadly sins kind of goes with being a guy that takes a nap all the time. I was trying to piece it together. We got there. Somehow.
But, yeah, I guess.
That's what we do every day. We somehow get to where we're going. Tom is up in Warminster. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Tom. What's up?
What's going on? Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. The thing I wanted to talk about when I hopped on was, so I have a question for you guys. Was there ever a shootout outside of the Super Bowl where Jalen Hurts was clearly the better quarterback in that game? Was there ever a shootout that Jalen Hurts has been in an Eagles uniform that he has lost?
I'm sure there has been. I mean, like
Chargers game in 21, maybe, I guess, if you want to consider that.
I wouldn't really consider that a shootout.
So how are we defining shootout? Is it a certain amount of points? Is he throwing 30-plus times?
The way I would define a shootout is the offense just throwing punches back and forth at each other.
How are you getting to those punches, though? Because I'm thinking...
I mean, that kind of happened in the 2021 game against the Chargers.
I mean, all right, but there's a few of these I could just find in his career where they gave up a lot of points and his offense didn't match, right? They, like, one team was in a shootout. The Jalen side of the ball didn't, right? They lost 42-19 last year to the Niners. Was that a shootout? I don't know. I mean, they stopped scoring.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. But I'm just thinking the Bills game. I mean, the thing that I always go back to is the Super Bowl. It's the biggest stage of any kind of sporting event. And we saw our guy go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, and I think he outplayed him. So I don't know how anyone could actually sit here and say that they don't have the utmost confidence in him going toe-to-toe in a shootout game.
Two things. I think it's a very good point to bring up. But two things. One, the Jalen of today isn't the same Jalen as 2 years ago. Same guy, but he's not the same. Players change year to year. Second point, Tom, and I always say this. I think he played really, really, really well in the Super Bowl.
But he didn't outplay.
He turned the ball over once. The other guy didn't turn it over once. It was a one-possession game. Like, in a shootout, you can't give away a possession. We literally gave them 7 points because the quarterback dropped the ball.
Right. No, I mean, it's a fair point. I don't know. I personally, I heard Hugh say that he didn't outplay him. I mean, if you look back at the stats, I think it's pretty clear that he outplayed him. I understand
the Super Bowl?
The turnover point. Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Who won the game?
I mean, the Chiefs won the game. But
so how do you outplay somebody? He played well. He played, like, put it like this. Let me help you out here. If he would have won that game, he would have been the MVP.
Sure.
Because that kind of plays into what you're saying, correct?
Right.
Patrick Mahomes made the key play that broke the defense's back, and he won the game. So I hear what you're saying, and I understand that, but Patrick Mahomes won the game. I hear what you're saying, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point, but I appreciate the time, guys, and I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving.
You got it, Tom. We appreciate you. Yeah, and look.
He didn't want to guess. Or did he guess?
No, he
told me he didn't. Yeah, he was only interested in the Hurts point.
He just wanted to make fun.
Yeah. I was just saying, he could have guessed. I didn't want him to think I was.
You know. I can respect the guy who's here for the Hurts takes and not the.
Sure.
You know,
no, it's cool.
That's it, right?
No, just
not everyone wants to get inside Hugh's head and try to figure out what he's thinking. I mean,
it's a difficult task.
It is, yeah.
So I'm just looking back at some Eagles games because that Chargers one was the first one that popped into my head. The end of last year, losing to the Cardinals 35-31, I guess you can consider that. But, you know, our defense was bad, but that's, I guess, how you're going to find yourself in a shootout. There are also games where, like, the Eagles just got dragged.
Right.
And our offense wasn't able to keep up. So, right. Like, it's, you know, sure, has he won shootouts? Yeah, but has he won a lot of games where we fell behind and he had to throw his way back into the game is another way to look at it.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a very fair point, right? Like, I think people are looking for the close, high-scoring game he lost.
Right.
And to be fair, there's not many of those.
I mean, we got smoked by Dallas before, like, where they're and the Niners, where they're just putting it on us and we can't keep up.
Right. Yeah, and last year, I mean, I think people brought up the point of the Bills game last year. It's probably the last time we saw this shootout, and Jalen won it. He had the walk-off touchdown in overtime. But it's a year ago, and we haven't seen it for a while. And again, it's one thing to play in those games every week and kind of get ingrained in them, right? Like, the Bengals are playing in those games every week now. There's certain teams that get in shootouts. The Ravens, to an extent, play in
those
games.
You're talking about repetition.
Repetition.
As far as, like, throwing the ball a lot, that's repetition and having success.
Exactly. We have a different kind of team right now where we're just playing in a different kind of – it's just they play in a run defense kind of game. And if it goes – that's why I brought up the – I think the Niners last year are similar to the Eagles this year, where they're running the ball, they're playing really good defense, they're really winning by a lot. And then, too, in that title game, they got down 17 points to the Lions. They had to come back. They did. I mean, I don't know if people trusted Purdy before it, but he brought them back. And I think at some point, whether it be Sunday or it be the playoffs, Jalen's going to have one of those moments where he's got to throw him back in the game. And I hope he does it. Rich,
no, I get what you're talking about.
In Roersford's up. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good, Rich.
Yeah, I used to get into it with you all the time.
I remember, Rich.
Oh, I know you do, about Carson Wentz.
Uh-huh.
You used to go at it. So let me get right to the point, because I really want to take a guess on this Hughes clues, which I have experienced myself.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest point is, my thing about the Eagles now, and you're making the point about whether or not Jalen can win a shootout, but my point is bigger, that I think this team is built like the 2017 Eagles and the way they won the Super Bowl, and we lost a bunch of players, including our quarterback. And I don't think anybody at that point would have thought Nick Foles was going to win a Super Bowl for us in a shootout with Tom Brady. So even though he had great seasons. So we had the rushing attack. We got off to a slow start in the playoffs with Nick, with the Falcons. And I just think that the comparisons are so close with the number one rushing attack, the defense playing really good. Even though they got scathed in the Super Bowl and he had to win a shootout. Basically, what you're saying is you think that in case our defense gets ripped, can Jalen go out there and do it? Well, he did do it in the Super Bowl, even though he did have that one big turnover, just like Will's point earlier. And he has shown the propensity, and that was his biggest game, to be able to go out there and make the plays when they need to happen. So I don't think it's going to have to be a shootout. But I think if it has to be, if you don't like our talent on the outside, like Dallas Goedert and A.J. Brown and Devontae, if he plays, and he may not, then maybe you're saying that you just don't trust Jalen Hurts whatsoever.
Well, I do trust him, but the more he has to throw, this is what any quarterback, right? The more they have to throw, the more the flaws come out, whether it be pocket presence, whether it be seeing the field, whether it be throwing in, you know, into coverage and you know, turnover-worthy play. It's easier to kind of calm that down on 20 throws rather than 40, right? It's just
I agree.
Yeah. So I trust them.
But can I add one point?
Yeah, and I do agree, Rich. I agree with you in the comp on 2017. And I actually think, even though they're totally different athletes, Jalen and Nick are similar in that they're rhythm quarterbacks. When they are on, they're really on. And then sometimes for a quarter or two, they're off.
And I think even running the ball, just as long as we stay true to the run and they have to load the box against us, he can win a shootout, because there's no doubt about it that as soon as they blink their eye, they're going to have to worry about Saquon busting one open. And as long as the play calling is good, I don't worry about that too much. But I also think that, you know, in the biggest stage, it's like Jalen has been calling all of these plays at the line himself without his Hall of Fame center. So if he's the one calling these plays for Saquon and he sees something on the field, him picking and choosing is an X factor that I think has been lost.
And I think it's made him better, because he has to do more and he's got to see the field in a different way. I think it, now and into the future, makes it better. Rich, what do you got for us? You got a guess for Hugh's Clues?
I do. So it does go along with one of the seven deadly sins, and it's one that I have in the past, myself and many, many other families. I would put it under the gluttony category, and I would say gluttony of alcohol, and I would say the arguments that happened during Thanksgiving.
Well, you, Rich, you nailed it, because you got gluttony.
She was going with arguments.
There, but you got it. Yeah, that's
Rich,
crazy.
This morning I said, Hugh, first thing you think of when you think of Thanksgiving, he said gluttony. Rich, good job, man. You got it. You're headed to the Big Five Classic. We'll put you on hold.
I don't know how to handle that one, because he's like, you know, gluttony and arguments.
Yeah, he said the word, though, right? He got it.
Sure, but yeah. I mean, but some people like to dance around, like, you know, I was thinking this, but then I went with this.
Right. I think he was saying that you're a glutton for the alcohol leads to the arguments at the family.
Yeah, it's just gluttony. Right. It's just gluttony all over, man. It's like on that day. That's the day where you just overly indulge.
Yeah.
Especially when...
It's time to be a glutton.
Yeah, especially when you're in a situation where, say, you have a significant other and they want to impress your family, so they might have a dish...
Gotta eat it.
...that they bring. That's not good.
You gotta gobble that down.
And you gotta eat it.
All right, so I guess we also realized that sloth could have been one.
Yeah.
For the gnat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
but he didn't say sloth.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, but I didn't think about that before, that there's actually more than one seven... Now I'm thinking about Thanksgiving in a whole different light. All these deadly sins.
It's Thanksgiving just one big
but
sin.
But think about it. You eat on Thanksgiving.
Can you
just
let me enjoy Thanksgiving?
No, I mean, you can enjoy it, but a lot of us eat just to eat. Because you sit there and oh.
Well, you
Joe makes a good point. Like, what's your problem?
Because I'm so stuffed.
But you do it to share with people.
You say gluttony.
Aunt Clarice made some pie. Oh, let me go. I got to go get a piece of Aunt Clarice's pie. It might not even be good.
Yeah, but you know what you got to do?
Here's
how you really know it's gluttonous time. When, like, late in the day, you put on the comfy pants with the elastic.
And they're kind of full.
Tight. You got more room for the next piece of pie.
Yeah. And then you wake up that Monday. You wake up, Friday morning. Oh, I ate too much. And then you proceed to warm up a plate and go right back in.
That's how you do all weekend.
I just don't know why that was the very first thing that popped in your head.
No, because it is, man. It just was. It's just like everybody just going to be greedy just to eat. You eating just to eat
That's the point of the holiday.
It's like a celebration giving thanks for the year, for your family, for the food.
The holiday is to fellowship and hang out with people you haven't seen in a while.
And share food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can share food, but we do it too much. And then you get mad because then...
We do it once a year.
Well, then Christmas is right around the corner. You do it again at Christmas.
No, but the point of Thanksgiving is to eat food, is break bread with family members.
Yes. But you don't have to eat all the bread in
once a year. It's okay.
No, I'm not eating all the bread.
You don't have to.
No, it's not. It's just
more
gluttony
for me.
I mean, Kyle, you're a little guy. You can do that.
I can put back tons of food on Thanksgiving.
Like,
buddy,
think about it. It's people that will not eat all day. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the grandmothers that's cooking tonight too. They're still like preparing food.
Well,
tonight.
It takes time. Yeah, you do it right. Yeah, it takes time.
But it's just to be sitting there just eating, just to eat. That's a lot, man. That's just a lot.
Well, that's what I plan on doing tomorrow.
Food coma.
Yes.
Food coma.
I will be in one tomorrow.
Now I will be eating some I will partake in some dressing though.
Is that your go-to?
That's the go-to, because it's like I don't really eat that much bread. So when I get a chance to eat dressing, I'm a smash
fill you up
dressing.
The most, man.
Yeah. Are you a natural cranberry guy, or are you like the kind that comes in a can?
Natural.
Natural, yeah.
I'm a can guy. I like the can.
I mean, I had a lot of the can when I was a kid. Like, I'll have it if you put it on the plate.
Yeah, but like, you would prefer that over normal.
Yes.
Why?
No, because over, like, it's just well-made? Like tradition. Oh. When your grandma take the can of cranberry.
And then they slice the can.
No, and it's then
they
have a saucer and put it at the middle of the table.
And it's just like jiggling.
And just come out the thing. And then you cut.
That's old school.
And then you slice a little top off.
Like that. It's basically just gelatin. Yeah, it's cranberry flavored gelatin.
That's Thanksgiving to me.
Yeah. All right, let's grab Rich, and then we have to get to a Q&A for a Football Wednesday. What's up, Rich?
Rich literally just won the prize.
Rich, I'm sorry. Well, actually, I'm not sorry.
Literally.
Congratulations, Rich. Rashad in South Philly. What's up, Rashad?
Yo, fellas.
What's up, Rashad?
What's going on? Hey, man, I called this 7 weeks ago and predicted that we would be in this situation. And here we are now in 2.
You got it. And you know what?
Did you bet on it, though?
Yeah, that's the real question.
Oh, I never bet on the home team. Never. That's bad luck. Never.
Is that right?
Bad
well,
luck.
Dang, I didn't broke that one.
Yeah.
Broke that
Hugh's been serving up bad luck for weeks then.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. And I'm trying to figure out, man, what is the trepidation with Hurts, man? Like, this guy has done nothing but be a consummate professional, man. He's going out there. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played all world this year, but he is certainly getting better. This guy comes from a championship background, pedigree. I mean, come on, man. This guy is QB1 for a reason, man. I have no doubt that he'll be in the shootout. And, in fact, I think that's the Ravens' game plan going into this game. They're going to try to shut down Saquon and make Hurts win the game.
There's no question. Rashad, I don't think it's not so much trepidation. I think he's good. I mean, I think he's good. They're just winning a certain way, and we haven't seen them win a different way. And if they have to,
I wonder, can they get it done?
Yeah, if they're up for it, like if they're ready for that, because it's just been like they followed a certain script to get to where they've gotten to. They haven't had to go off script in like, you know, 2 months now.
Yeah, well, it's about to get, this is the toughest game of the season for this team, I believe, personally. And as far as resting Saquon, I certainly think, once you lock up that number one seed, man, everybody sits the bench, man. Everybody. You know what I mean? Like, and we got Detroit out there that's trying to win some things, and I get it. That's our competition.
But, oh, I agree. And we'll see them tomorrow. Hopefully they lose and it opens it up. Rashad, we appreciate it. All right. We do it every Friday. It's a Wednesday, but it's a Football Wednesday. How about a little Q&A here?
Get to know the Midday Show. What? This is Hugh and A on 94 WIP.
All right, Hugh. So we know Sunday the Eagles will go up against Derrick Henry, right?
Derrick Henry.
Big back. So I wrote down in my notes here, Big Hugh on big backs. What
big
was it
back,
like?
Big back.
What was it like? So who were some of the biggest backs when you were like Bettis, Eddie George,
Steven Davis,
Allstott?
Who else was it? Steven Alexander? Steven Alexander?
Sean?
Yeah, Sean Alexander.
What was it like? Like, as a defender, was it like a fun challenge? Or did you hate it during the week, knowing that they're big?
Well, it was like this during the course of the week when you figure out who you're about to play. You're like, damn, you got Eddie George, and you invite the challenge, but you know it's gonna be a long day. But Eddie George to this day is like Eddie George, is like what, 6'3", 6'4"?
Oh yeah,
he's like 230, 240. And he's running downhill. The biggest thing that I remember, we were in a game playing against him, and it was me, Corey, and Hollis. And we're all about the same height, 6'1". Eddie George towering over all of us. And Corey says something about, we sure not intimidating anybody with our size as far as our height is concerned. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, it was a challenge, just being challenged to try to tackle him. And it was mostly gang tackling. I remember Jim telling us that a guy like that, you don't want to let him get a full head of steam. You want to make sure that he's not able to run downhill all willy-nilly. You want to try to make him make cuts and everything and turn it back to the Sharks. Same thing with Derrick Henry, man. Derrick Henry is not the most elusive back, but when Derrick Henry gets the rolling, he's hard to get down.
When I was watching the game Monday, when the D-backs trying to tackle him, it looked like a grown-up with children trying to knock him over.
Yeah, like them little cuz you saw with a grown-up playing with the kid. Yeah, that's who he is. So in order to have success, you know, as well as these young corners been tackling and everything, man, you don't want him in the secondary like that.
You don't.
Yeah, I like the way Cooper DeJean tackles.
Though
I would
like to see him chopping that tree down, going low.
No, yeah, you better do that. But yeah. Cooper likes to tackle high. I remember I don't know who the running back was, but Sean Conson, I remember that name.
Oh, yeah. Safety. Iowa.
Man, listen. I remember when he got hit. I forgot who hit him. He got hit on the goal line, and he was never the same after that. We don't want that to happen to the young fella.
Cooper's better than Sean.
He's better, but Derrick Henry's a different – not saying that – and listen, people, because y'all like to twist things around and make it seem like I'm saying that Cooper DeJean is soft. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you have an opportunity not to take the brunt of that hit, don't do it. Just make that – like, cut him low. Because even Troy would tell you in a heartbeat. I remember playing against his wrong bet. He's like, man, I'm not taking that big dude up. How am I cut him? And he used to say that with pride.
Yeah.
So don't the bottom line is this. He gets in the secondary. Don't let your pride take over, man. Just go ahead and cut him low and turn it back to the Sharks.
You can't. You gotta be careful about it. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, final hour of the show coming up. Your phone calls on the game Sunday that fully trust Hurts in a shootout and confident or nervousness. Where do you come down? Big game, Eagles Ravens Sunday. Plus we have a big huge Thanksgiving banger for your lady later and guess the takes. But first, Elliot Shore Parks joins us next on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Tell you, hop aboard as we look forward to a big one. Sunday, 425 in the cold of Baltimore. The Eagles and the Ravens. Eagles currently a 3-point underdog, but a lot of people believe they can win. I believe they can win this game. But if it's a shootout, do you trust the quarterback? 215-592-9494. And my honest answer is, no, I got to see it. I have to see the Eagles win a shootout and Jalen Hurts throwing the football a lot and winning that way, because they really haven't done that this year. It's been a different script. It's worked, and hopefully it keeps working. But one of these weeks, and it might be this week, they may have to win a different way. Hugh, do you have full trust? You have confidence?
Full faith and credit, yeah.
Yeah, no shaking of that hand?
No trepidation.
Man.
Nah, I think you can get it done.
Well, you can, but like, do you have confidence you will? Yeah. We haven't seen it this year.
No, we haven't. We haven't, but I think, and you know, a lot of people were talking about last year. This is not last year's team.
No, this is this year's team.
This is this year's team, and I get what you're saying, though. We've seen him do it in the past, but you're asking about this year and standing on the merit of this year. I think he can get it done.
I always think that gets lost in the conversation with players. Players change from year to year.
Like, they do.
It's like, just yes, is Jalen Hurts capable? Does he have game-winning drives under his ledger? Of course he does. But like, the Jalen Hurts of 2 years ago isn't the same guy as now. It works like this with anybody. The Saquon Barkley of now is better than the Saquon Barkley I watched last year. It's not just that he's on a different team. He just looks better. He looks faster. So every year it changes. I think Jalen can get it done, but I don't have that full confidence. If they're down 10 and the ball's in his hand fourth quarter, he's got to throw him back in the game, that he's just going to do it. I need to see it, and this might be the week that we do see Jalen Hurts have to do it against a big-time Ravens offense. 215-592-9494. A Q&A coming up here. Our Twitter question, of course, brought to you and sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. I haven't looked at the Twitter poll today, but I'm guessing most people are going to be optimistic and
And angry with us.
Angry,
but it was a stupid question.
What's like asking that? If we trust Jalen Hurts? I mean, God forbid.
Hold on a second. 3 weeks ago, wasn't everyone worried about Hurts? Am I living in a different world?
Yes, you are.
Okay, 75% fully trust Jalen Hurts to win a potential shootout. Look, he played better on Sunday, so we're coming off a good Jalen Hurts game. But I think people's memories are just, like,
I mean, well, you're
getting worse and worse.
No, it's you, Joe. It's not the people.
You don't need to be surprised. This is Twitter. You
know? Yeah, no, I get it. I get that.
How dare
but,
you.
I would say most of our callers today also on the full trust for Jalen in a potential shootout. All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh, before we go any further, the people need a third clue. Can you give them a third clue here for Hugh's Clues?
This one should really give it away. We're going to knock it out of park, this, and I decided to make it easy for you. This is one of the seven deadly sins.
So just to bring everyone back to center here, I said, Hugh, what do you think when you think Thanksgiving? And he gave us one of the seven deadly sins. I mean, that's what the guy said. I mean, I was thinking turkeys.
And he looked at me like, seriously? And I'm like, no.
Stuffing or dressing.
And I gave you, once this is guessed, I will give you the reason why I thought about this. I mean, it's a method to my madness. It's not like I'm just sitting up here.
I don't know, man.
And just thinking of crazy stuff. Nah.
Some might disagree with that.
No, I know they will, but I mean, that's why I'm
I just
I'm
feel
explaining.
Like most people, when you hear Thanksgiving, you think family, football, turkey.
Oh, definitely family.
Dressing.
Definitely
or,
family.
Or stuffing.
Yeah, food. No.
Yeah, all that.
Nah.
Some beer, not wine, whatever you like. Mm-hmm. You know, nah, and this guy over here gave us one of the seven deadly sins. All right, let's go to Seth in media. What's up, Seth?
Yo, what's going on, guys? How you
what's
doing?
Up, man?
What's up, Seth?
First off, happy Thanksgiving. Second, about your question with Jalen Hurts, you had referenced the Tampa Bay game. And I said this to Kyle earlier. I mean, you sent that guy into a shootout with a bag full of rocks. You know what I mean? Like, he might do some damage, but he ain't winning that game. There's no way. Defense wasn't as good as what they are now. You know, they got two guys now with Slavian out. I have full faith in Cooper DeJean taking up that corner spot. I just think they're operating different. You know, you can't compare the team this week to the team 3 games ago.
I agree. Yeah, they are. They're in a different realm now in their run game and their defense than we've seen all year, for sure.
Yeah, it's a week-to-week thing, right? Like, every week something changes. Somebody's questionable. Somebody's not. But based off of the history of what we've seen from Jalen when he has his weapons this season, right, and everybody's firing, I don't have any problem with them playing from behind in the second half. I mean, shoot, they played from behind most of the games that they won. early on. They weren't scoring in the first quarter.
So I would, yes, but so the difference, Seth, and you're right, but the defense has been playing so well that they never really fell really behind, right? The score was 7-3, it was 10-7, it was, like, you know, like they were right there. So then the run game eventually broke the dam and they win the game and they run away. They haven't had a game where they're down, you know, 13 points or 10 points early to a good offense. That just hasn't happened lately.
And that's a fair point. That's a fair point. But that also corroborates with or proves the point that Ken from Cinnaminson was proven earlier when he said they haven't had to. Their defense is just that good. If they had to, I 100% trust them. You know, we have reason. There's always going to be reason to doubt somebody. But when you look at the matchup up and down against this squad, even if they start stuffing the run, there are ways to be creative, and I trust this coaching team enough to be creative to get short passes that'll get big yards. You know, like Kyle said earlier, they don't have to be huge chunk plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't. It doesn't have to be a 70-yard bomb. It could be a 12-yard pass that turns into a 60-yard run.
And those work out just, I mean, explosive is explosive, right? However it looks, it doesn't matter, right? You're exactly, yeah. If it's a slant and AJ runs for 50 afterwards, it counts as, you know, whatever in the box score. The same amount as if he threw it in the air. I agree with that. All right, Seth, what's your guess here? Hughes Clues for a pair of tickets, the Big Five Classic.
Well, he kind of threw me off with that whole thing, but I got one quick question before I do that, a question for Hugh. We're having a family debate right now. Cornbread or biscuits?
Cornbread.
No doubt.
Right, that's what I say.
Cornbread. But it all depends on who's making the cornbread. Like, everybody can't make are they putting sugar in the cornbread?
My girl's making the cornbread. My mother-in-law would be making the herb biscuits.
Okay, but is there sugar in the cornbread?
That I don't know.
You don't know, yeah.
I got to tell you, Seth, my first instinct was cornbread.
Yeah.
But then you could also get some dull cornbread. Most biscuits are good.
Yeah.
Like a high-end cornbread, I think, is the answer. But it's got to be high-end.
So you got to be that kind of cornbread that eats, like, you can eat it like cake.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Make a Sammy out of it. In reference to what Hugh's clues there, the first thing I thought of was, he threw me off with the seven deadly sins, but I was thinking about that Dallas game, and I thought the first word he would say is nap.
Nap is a good one. Now, I'm trying to think of how nap fits in with the seven deadly sins. That's what we appreciate. It's not.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
And you gave him the coup, and he still went off on it.
Actually, I should rescind that.
Well, I actually think there is one. There is one that fits.
Nap?
One of the deadly sins kind of goes with being a guy that takes a nap all the time. I was trying to piece it together. We got there. Somehow.
But, yeah, I guess.
That's what we do every day. We somehow get to where we're going. Tom is up in Warminster. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Tom. What's up?
What's going on? Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. The thing I wanted to talk about when I hopped on was, so I have a question for you guys. Was there ever a shootout outside of the Super Bowl where Jalen Hurts was clearly the better quarterback in that game? Was there ever a shootout that Jalen Hurts has been in an Eagles uniform that he has lost?
I'm sure there has been. I mean, like
Chargers game in 21, maybe, I guess, if you want to consider that.
I mean, I wouldn't really consider that a shootout.
Well, how are we defining shootout? Is it a certain amount of points? Is he throwing 30 plus times?
I mean, the way I would define a shootout is the offense just throwing punches back and forth at each other.
How are you getting to those punches, though? Because I'm thinking,
I mean, that kind of happened in the 2021 game against the Chargers.
I mean, all right, but there's a few of these I could just find in his career where they gave up a lot of points and his offense didn't match, right? Like one team was in a shootout. The Jalen side of the ball didn't, right? They lost 42-19 last year to the Niners. Was that a shootout? I don't know. I mean, they stopped scoring.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. But I'm just thinking the Bills game. I mean, the thing that I always go back to is the Super Bowl. It's the biggest stage of any kind of sporting event. And we saw our guy go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, and I think he outplayed him. So I don't know how anyone could actually sit here and say that they don't have the utmost confidence in him going toe-to-toe in a shootout.
I think it's a very good point to bring up. But two things. One, the Jalen of today isn't the same Jalen as 2 years ago. Same guy, but he's not the same. The players change year to year. Second point, Tom, and I always say this, I think he played really, really, really well in the Super Bowl.
But he didn't outplay.
He turned the ball over once. The other guy didn't turn it over once. It was a one-possession game. Like, in a shootout, you can't give away a possession. We literally gave them 7 points because the quarterback dropped the ball.
Right. No, I mean, it's a fair point. I don't know. I personally, I heard Hugh say that he didn't outplay him. I mean, if you look back at the stats, I think it's pretty clear that he outplayed him. I understand
the
turnover point. Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Who won the game?
I mean, the Chiefs won the game. But
so how do you outplay somebody?
He played well.
He played, like, put it like this. Let me help you out here. If he would have won that game, he would have been the MVP.
Sure,
Because that kind of plays into what you're saying, correct?
Right.
Patrick Mahomes made the key play that broke the defense's back, and he won the game. So I hear what you're saying, and I understand that, but Patrick Mahomes won the game. I hear what you're saying, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point, but I appreciate the time, guys, and I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving.
You got it, Tom. We appreciate you. Yeah, and look.
He didn't want to guess. Or did he guess?
No, he told me he didn't. Yeah, he was only interested in the Hurts point.
He just wanted to make fun.
Yeah. I was just saying, he could have guessed. I didn't want him to think I was.
You know. I can respect the guy who's here for the Hurts takes and not the.
Sure.
You know,
no, it's cool.
That's it, right?
No, just
not everyone wants to get inside Hugh's head and try to figure out what he's thinking.
It's a difficult task.
It is, yeah.
So I'm just looking back at some Eagles games because that Chargers one was the first one that popped into my head. The end of last year, losing to the Cardinals 35-31, I guess you can consider that. But, you know, our defense was bad, but that's, I guess, how you're going to find yourself in a shootout. There are also games where, like, the Eagles just got dragged.
Right.
And our offense wasn't able to keep up. So, it's, you know, sure, has he won shootouts? Yeah, but has he won a lot of games where we fell behind and he had to throw his way back into the game is another way to look at it.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a very fair point, right? Like, I think people are looking for the close, high-scoring game he lost. And to be fair, there's not many of those.
I mean, we got smoked by Dallas before, like, where they're and the Niners, where they're just putting it on us and we can't keep up.
Right. Yeah, and last year, I mean, I think people brought up the point of the Bills game last year. It's probably the last time we saw this shootout and Jalen wanted. He had the walk-off touchdown in overtime. But it's a year ago, and we haven't seen it for a while. And again, it's one thing to play in those games every week and kind of get ingrained in them, right? Like the Bengals are playing in those games every week now. There's certain teams that get in shootouts. The Ravens, to an extent, play in those games.
You're talking about repetition.
Repetition.
As far as like throwing the ball a lot, that's repetition and having success.
Exactly. We have a different kind of team right now where we're just playing in a different kind of – it's just they play in a run defense kind of game. And if it goes – that's why I brought up the – I think the Niners last year are similar to the Eagles this year where they're running the ball, they're playing really good defense, they're really winning by a lot. And then, Hugh, in that title game, they got down 17 points to the Lions. They had to come back. They did. I mean, I don't know if people trusted Purdy before it, but he brought them back. And I think at some point, whether it be Sunday or it be the playoffs, Jalen's going to have one of those moments where he's got to throw him back in the game. And I hope he does it. Rich,
no, I get what you're talking about.
In Roersford's up. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good, Rich.
Yeah, I used to get into it with you all the time.
I remember, Rich.
Oh, I know you do, about Carson Wentz.
Uh-huh.
You used to go at it. So let me get right to the point, because I really want to take a guess on this Hughes Clues, which I have experienced myself.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest point is, my thing about the Eagles now, and you're making the point about whether or not Jalen can win a shootout, but my point is bigger that I think this team is built like the 2017 Eagles and the way they won the Super Bowl, and we lost a bunch of players, including our quarterback, and I don't think anybody at that point would have thought Nick Foles was going to win a Super Bowl for us in a shootout with Tom Brady. So even though he had great seasons. So we had the rushing attack. We got off to a slow start in the playoffs with Nick, with the Falcons. And I just think that the comparisons are so close with the number one rushing attack, the defense playing really good. Even though they got scathed in the Super Bowl and he had to win a shootout, basically what you're saying is you think that in case our defense gets ripped, can Jalen go out there and do it? Well, he did do it in the Super Bowl, even though he did have that one big turnover, just like Will's point earlier. And he has shown the propensity, and that was his biggest game, to be able to go out there and make the plays when they need to happen. So I don't think it's going to have to be a shootout. But I think if it has to be, if you don't like our talent on the outside, like Dallas Goedert and A.J. Brown and Devontae, if he plays, and he may not, then maybe you're saying that you just don't trust Jalen Hurts whatsoever.
Well, I do trust him, but the more he has to throw, this is what any quarterback, right? The more they have to throw, the more the flaws come out, whether it be pocket presence, whether it be seeing the field, whether it be throwing in, you know, into coverage and you know, turnover-worthy play. It's easier to kind of calm that down on 20 throws rather than 40, right? It's just
I agree.
Yeah. So I trust them.
But can I add one point?
Yeah, and I do. And I do agree, Rich. I agree with you in the comp on 2017. And I actually think, even though they're totally different athletes, Jalen and Nick are similar in that they're rhythm quarterbacks. When they are on, they're really on. And then sometimes for a quarter or two, they're off.
And I think even running the ball, just as long as we stay true to the run and they have to load the box against us, he can win a shootout, because there's no doubt about it that as soon as they blink their eye, they're going to have to worry about Saquon busting one open. And as long as the play calling is good, I don't worry about that too much. But I also think that, you know, in the biggest stage, it's like Jalen has been calling all of these plays at the line himself without his Hall of Fame center. So if he's the one calling these plays for Saquon and he sees something on the field, him picking and choosing is an X factor that I think has been lost.
And I think it's made him better, because he has to do more and he's got to see the field in a different way. I think it now into the future makes it better. Rich, what do you got for us? You got a guess for Hughes Clues?
I do. So it does go along with one of the seven deadly sins, and it's one that I have in the past, myself and many, many other families. I would put it under the gluttony category, and I would say gluttony of alcohol, and I would say the arguments that happen during Thanksgiving.
Well, Rich, you nailed it, because you got gluttony.
Yeah,
Rich, this morning I said, Hugh, first thing you think of when you think of Thanksgiving, he said gluttony. Rich, good job, man. You got it. You're headed to the Big Five Classic. We'll put you on hold.
I didn't know how to handle that one, because he's like, you know, gluttony and arguments.
Yeah, now, he said the word, though, right? He got it.
Sure, but yeah. I mean, but some people like to dance around, like, you know, I was thinking this, but then I went with this.
Right. I think he was saying that you're a glutton for the alcohol leads to the arguments at the family.
It's just gluttony all over, man. It's like, on that day, that's the day where you just overly indulge.
Yeah.
Especially when...
Time to be a glutton.
Yeah, especially when you're in a situation where, say, you have a significant other and they want to impress your family, so they might have a dish...
Got to eat it.
...that they bring. That's not good.
You got to gobble that down.
And you got to eat it.
So I guess we also realized that sloth could have been one.
Yeah.
For the nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's
but he didn't say sloth.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, but I didn't think about that before, that there's actually more than one seven. Now I'm thinking about Thanksgiving in a whole different light. All these deadly sins.
It's Thanksgiving just one big
but
sin.
But think about it. You eat on Thanksgiving.
Can you
just
let me enjoy Thanksgiving?
No, I mean, you can enjoy it, but a lot of us eat just to eat. You sit there and be like, oh.
Well,
Joe makes a good point. Like, what's your problem?
Because I'm so stuffed.
But you do it to share with people.
You say gluttony.
Aunt Clarice made some pie. Oh, let me go. I got to go get a piece of Aunt Clarice's pie. It might not even be good.
Yeah, but you know what you got to do?
Here's
how you really know it's gluttonous time. When, like, late in the day, you put on the comfy pants with the elastic.
And they're kind of full.
Well, because then you got more room for the next piece of pie.
Yeah. And then you wake up that Monday. You wake up, Friday morning. Oh, I ate too much. And then you proceed to warm up a plate and go right back in.
That's all you do all weekend.
I just don't know why that was the very first thing that popped in your head.
No, because it is, man. It just was. It's just like everybody just going to be greedy just to eat. You eating just to eat.
That's
at that point.
That's the point of the holiday.
It's like a celebration of giving thanks for the year, for your family,
the
for the food.
The holiday is to fellowship and hang out with people you haven't seen in a while.
And share food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can share food, but we do it too much. And then you get mad because then...
We do it once a year.
Well, then Christmas is right around the corner. You do it again at Christmas.
No, but the point of Thanksgiving is to eat food, is break bread with family members.
Yeah, but you don't have to eat all the bread in one sitting.
Yes, once a year, it's okay.
No, I'm not eating all the bread.
You don't have to.
No, it's not. It's just
more
gluttony
for me.
I mean, Kyle, you're a little guy. You can do that.
I can put back tons of food on Thanksgiving.
Like, think about it. It's people that will not eat all day. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the grandmothers that's cooking tonight too. They're still like preparing food.
Well,
tonight.
It takes time. Yeah, if you do it right, it takes time.
But it's just to be sitting there just eating, just to eat. That's a lot, man. That's just a lot.
Well, that's what I plan on doing tomorrow.
Food coma.
Yes.
Food coma.
I will be in one tomorrow.
Now I will be eating some I will partake in some dressing though.
Is that your go-to?
That's the go-to, because it's like I don't really eat that much bread. So when I get a chance to eat dressing, I'm a smash
fill you up the
dressing.
Most, man.
Yeah. Are you a natural cranberry guy, or are you like the kind that comes in a can?
Natural.
Natural, yeah.
Oh, I'm a can guy. I like the can.
I mean, I had a lot of the can when I was a kid. Like, I'll have it if you put it on the plate.
Yeah, but like, you would prefer that over normal?
Yes.
Why?
No, because over, like, it's just well-made? Like tradition. Oh. When your grandma take the can of cranberry.
And then they slice the can?
No, and then they have a saucer and put it at the middle of the table.
And it's just like jiggling?
It just come out the thing. And then you cut.
That's old school.
And then you slice a little top off.
It's basically just gelatin. Yeah, it's cranberry flavored gelatin.
That's Thanksgiving to me.
Yeah. All right, let's grab Rich, and then we have to get to a Q&A for a Football Wednesday. What's up, Rich?
Rich literally just won the prize.
Rich, I'm sorry. Well, actually, I'm not sorry.
Literally.
Congratulations, Rich. Rashad in South Philly. What's up, Rashad?
Yo, fellas.
What's
happy
up?
What's up, Rashad?
What's going on? Hey, man, I called in 7 weeks ago and predicted that we would be in this situation. And here we are, 9-2.
You got it. And you know what?
Did you bet on it, though?
Yeah, that's the real question.
Oh, I never bet on the home team. Never. That's bad luck. No.
Is that right?
Bad
luck. Well,
dang,
I didn't broke that one.
Yeah.
Broke that
Hugh's been serving up bad luck for weeks then.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. And I'm trying to figure out, man, what is the trepidation with Hurts, man? Like, this guy has done nothing but be a consummate professional, man. He's going out there. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't played all world this year, but he is certainly getting better. This guy comes from a championship background, pedigree. I mean, come on, man. This guy is QB1 for a reason, man. I have no doubt that he'll be in the shootout. And, in fact, I think that's the Ravens' game plan going into this game. They're going to try to shut down Saquon and make Hurts win the game.
There's no question. Rashad, I don't think it's not so much trepidation. I think he's good. I mean, I think he's good. They're just winning a certain way, and we haven't seen them win a different way. And if they have to,
you wonder, can they get it done?
Yeah, if they're up for it, like if they're ready for that, because it's just been like they followed a certain script to get to where they've gotten to. They haven't had to go off script in like, 2 months now.
Yeah, well, it's about to get – this is the toughest game of the season for this team, I believe, personally. And as far as resting Saquon, I certainly think – once you lock up that number one seed, man, everybody sits the bench, man. Everybody. You know what I mean? Like, and we got Detroit out there that's trying to win some things, and I get it. That's our competition.
But, oh, I agree. And we'll see them tomorrow. Hopefully they lose and it opens it up. Rashad, we appreciate it. All right. We do it every Friday. It's a Wednesday, but it's a Football Wednesday. How about a little Q&A here?
Get to know the Midday Show. What? This is Hugh and A on 94 WIP.
All right, Hugh. So we know Sunday the Eagles will go up against Derrick Henry, right?
Derrick Henry.
Big back. So I wrote down in my notes here, Big Hugh on big backs. What
big
was it
back,
like?
Big back.
What was it like? So who were some of the biggest backs when you were like Bettis, Eddie George?
Steven Davis.
Allstott.
Who else was it? Steven Alexander. Steven Alexander?
Sean?
Yeah, Sean Alexander.
What was it like? Like, as a defender, was it like a fun challenge? Or did you hate it during the week, knowing that they're big?
Well, it was like this during the course of the week when you figure out who you're about to play. You're like, damn, you got Eddie George, and you invite the challenge, but you know it's gonna be a long day. But Eddie George to this day is like Eddie George, is like what, 6'3", 6'4"?
Oh yeah,
he's like 230, 240. And he's running downhill. The biggest thing that I remember, we were in a game playing against him, and it was me, Corey, and Hollis. And we're all about the same height, 6'1". Eddie George towering over all of us. And Corey says something about, we sure not intimidating anybody with our size as far as our height is concerned. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, it was a challenge, just being challenged to try to tackle him. And it was mostly gang tackling. I remember Jim telling us that a guy like that, you don't want to let him get a full head of steam. You want to make sure that he's not able to run downhill all willy-nilly. You want to try to make him make cuts and everything and turn it back to the Sharks. Same thing with Derrick Henry, man. Derrick Henry is not the most elusive back, but when Derrick Henry get the rolling, he's hard to get down.
When I was watching the game Monday, when the D-backs trying to tackle him, it looked like a grown-up with children trying to knock him over.
Yeah, like them little cuz you saw with a grown-up playing with the kid. Yeah, that's who he is. So in order to have success, you know, as well as these young corners been tackling and everything, man, you don't want him in the secondary like that.
You don't.
Yeah, I like the way Cooper DeJean tackles.
Though
and everything.
I would like to see him try. Chopping that tree down, going low.
No, yeah, you better do that. But yeah. Cooper likes to tackle high. I remember I don't know who the running back was, but Sean Constantine, I remember that name.
Oh, yeah. Safety. Iowa.
Man, listen. I remember when he got hit. I forgot who hit him. He got hit on the goal line, and he was never the same after that. We don't want that to happen to the young fella.
But Cooper's better than Sean.
He's better, but Derrick Henry's a different – not saying that – and listen, people, because y'all like to twist things around and make it seem like I'm saying that Cooper DeJean is soft. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you have an opportunity not to take the brunt of that hit, don't do it. Just make that – like, cut him low. Because even Troy would tell you in a heartbeat. I remember playing against his wrong bet. He's like, man, I'm not taking that big dude up. I'm going to cut him. And he used to say that with pride.
Yeah.
So don't – the bottom line is this. He gets in the secondary. Don't let your pride take over, man. Just go ahead and cut him low and turn it back to the Sharks.
You can't. You got to be careful about it. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, final hour of the show coming up. Your phone calls on the game Sunday that fully trust Hurts in a shootout and confident or nervousness. Where do you come down? Big game, Eagles-Ravens Sunday. Plus, we have a big, huge Thanksgiving banger for your lady later. And guess the takes. But first, Elliot Shore Parks joins us next on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.